Acts in the 22nd chapter, I want to read with you one question to get the thought of our study, and that's in verse 7. In Acts chapter 22, in verse 7, the divine revelation said, "And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" One of the most effective ways to increase your knowledge of the Word of God is to notice the questions that are raised. And you can go through your Bible and find many different times where an individual raised an important question. And it's interesting to observe the ones who asked the question and also to the ones whom the questions were asked. But of course, to follow this line of thought, it is of necessity to note the answers that are given to each one. In the book of Acts and the 22nd chapter, there are four great questions that come forth during this time that the Apostle Paul was converted to the Lord. The first question we note is in verse 7, as we've already read, where Saul is asked the question from the Lord, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now notice that he repeats his name, and in that culture, that would be a tender way of addressing him. He did the same thing to Martha, he did the same thing to Simon, and he even talked about those who said, "Lord, Lord." So here he is addressing Saul in a tender manner, and he asked an important question. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And can you not feel the power of that question? It is a great question, and remember, it is the Lord that is asking the question of one identified as Saul of Tarsus. But secondly, notice the man. He had been persecuting the disciples of Christ even unto death. And someone might ask Saul, later named Paul, he goes by the name that would be more known throughout the Roman power. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul thought he was doing what was right. Being a Pharisee, they rejected Christ as the Messiah. And that just shows us that there are some things that seem right, but are wrong. In Proverbs 14:12, you'll remember that the Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is condemnation." And in Hebrews chapter 10, you'll find that there are some that when they live their life, they do not live their life as they should because they live their life trodding their feet upon the precious blood of Christ. So when I read my Bible, I see a man who thought he was doing right, but instead of doing right, he was trodding his feet upon the blood of Christ. He was walking upon that which was precious. But you know, my friend, there are some today that are just as guilty of persecuting the Lord. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, notice with me what was said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. In particular, look down at verse 30 to save some time. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Now then, when you think about that, that is a very important statement made by Jesus. The ones that are not with the Lord are against the Lord. In other words, they are in a way persecuting Him because they stand in contrary to His divine will. They trod under their feet the precious blood of Christ. You can think about that one can live an erring and unfaithful life. They are surely persecuting the Lord. And someone may say, "Well, why?" Not because of the Christ. He's so good and great, there's no reason to do. Even Pilate said, "What evil has he done?" Now, my friend, can you just name what evil Christ has ever done unto you that would cause you to persecute him? Christ has done nothing but good for man. He's the creator of man, as is talked in John 1:1. He was there in the beginning. He is the Word of life. He is the living Word. And He has done great things to bring about our salvation through His death, burial, and resurrection. But notice, if you will, in your Bible, the second question Jesus asked. And this time, it is asked by Saul. And notice in verse 8, he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" Notice that question. And that's an important question. And notice it is addressed to Jesus. Who are you, Lord? Now some in John chapter 7 and verse 12 said he was a good man. And that was all they saw when they looked at Jesus, was a good man. Others said in John chapter 10 and verse 20, he's mad, that he's insane. And what they looked at when they looked at Jesus was a man who had lost his senses. Then you can find in the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, that some said he was a prophet. But you know what Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36? He tells us he is the Lord and Christ. He is the Lord. He is over all. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we look at Christ, we need to understand that is who he is. When I was just a little fellow growing up, I used to think Christ was Jesus' last name. That's not right. Christ is who he is, the promised Messiah from the Old Testament, who came to take away the sin of man, the one who has now risen to the right hand of God. So when I look at that question, I recognize that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that he is the Almighty God's Son, that he sits at the right hand of God, and that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But look again, if you will, at the third question. And notice the third question. If you will, drop down to verse 10. And notice Saul has another question. He asked the question in verse 10, what shall I do, Lord? I like that. I like that question. When Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Notice that Saul said, who are you, Lord? And now he asked a second time, what shall I do, Lord? And we note that question in this chapter, and it's a very important one. It deals with salvation. And there have been various answers given by individuals. Just let Christ in your heart, or do nothing. But notice that's not what Paul said. Paul realized there was something to do. And Paul said, what must I do, Lord? Paul was not satisfied with stopping after hearing that Jesus is the Lord. He didn't say, well, Lord, come into my heart. He said, what is it I must do? And notice what is said in verse 10. Jesus said, you go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Now notice that's a very important statement. And in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias came in and told him exactly what to do. I find it interesting that Jesus himself didn't say, go and be baptized. But he had a man by the name of Ananias teaching the truth. Ananias told him, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. He tells him to not wait, but to do it then. And notice the answer is a simple one. And it reveals that one must believe and be baptized what the Lord told the disciples to go and preach back in Mark 16, 16. Isn't that wonderful? Three questions there that are powerful. But look at the fourth question. And this one was asked by Ananias. Open your Bible to Acts 22 and drop down to verse 16. And in the King James, it says, why tarriest thou? The New King James says, why are you waiting? And notice, this is asked by the preacher that God sent. In other words, what are you waiting for? Everything is right for you to obey the gospel now, so do it. Have you ever thought that he said, now is the time to obey? In other words, don't wait, don't tarry. And have you ever thought about people in our day? Why is it that so many people put off obeying the gospel? It's not because they don't understand. I know people that understand the truth. And it's not because things are not ready. All things are ready. And so could it be that there are some who are just waiting for the things to get right and then they'll be baptized? And they think the pressure might let up from some? I tell you, what we need to realize is now is the time. Now is the time. I've had people want to say to me, they want to be baptized for the right reason. You want to know what the right reason is? To have your sins washed away. That's the reason. That's why one is baptized into Christ. And I'll tell you, my friend, all things have been made ready, so why do we wait? Here is water. Why do we wait? Have you ever noticed in Acts chapter 8, that's the question the Ethiopian eunuch asked. When he said, here is water, what doth hinder me? Not one thing, my friend. Not one thing hinders you tonight from being a child of God. And I would that these four questions would dwell in our hearts. Are we guilty of persecuting Christ? And if we are, why? Who art thou, Lord? He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What must I do? Believe and be baptized. Why do you tarry? Why do you wait? You know what Paul would say? Paul would say exactly what Ananias said. Arise and be baptized, as together we stand and sing.